Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code TBPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with DraftKings daily fantasy lineups. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all of the daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code TBPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot of millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code TBPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. You're listening to SpursCast, episode 607. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Steven Anderson. In this episode, Steven and I will discuss the retirement of LaMarcus Aldridge, the Spurs in their last four games, Lonnie Walker IV's return, and how the play-in tournament works. Let's go to get started. Steven, how have you been?
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you. I've been well. How are you?
I've been doing well myself. Yeah, so I mean, as we were discussing kind of off the air, you know, we kind of had our agenda ready for what we're going to discuss, but then you know, Thursday's news about LaMarcus Aldridge, we wanted to make sure we address this with what happened on Thursday when he announced his retirement. So let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. Okay, so you know, we do want to open up with the news about LaMarcus Aldridge, because even though he's technically not a Spur anymore, we know that he was part of this team and part of this franchise. So on Thursday, you know, Aldridge announced that he is going to retire from the NBA. He says that recently, after a game with the Brooklyn Nets, who he's been playing with, he recently had a regular heartbeat, and we know that he's had some issues, you know, in the past, medical issues, you know, concerns about his heart, because back in 2017, when he was a Spur, I remember he had to sit out a few games with the heart arrhythmia, and then also he had some earlier instances with Portland as well. So, you know, Aldridge, he does finish as a 7-time All-Star, 3 times with the Spurs, a 5-time All-NBA level player, 2 times with the Spurs, and then we know that he was one of the few marquee free agents who actually chose to sign with San Antonio. So that was a really big deal back in the summer of 2015 when the Spurs had cap space, and you know, they were trying to get different free agents, and LaMarcus was the one who did choose San Antonio. So you know, again, he's not on the team anymore, but Steven, just the fact that he just, you know, was part of this team this year, and he's kind of been part of the franchise. What are some of your top memories of LaMarcus?
Yeah, first off, Paul, I mean, I was actually driving, and I get the notification on my phone from Woj and from Shams, and they're like, oh, yeah, LaMarcus retired. I was like, what? So I read more into it, and obviously we know about the heart arrhythmia, and we know his irregular heartbeat. From my understanding, he was actually playing with Brooklyn, I believe, on Saturday, and it happened during the game, so later that day, that night, I should say, he felt even worse. And as he said, and you guys can go read his full statement on his social media accounts. But Paul, I mean, this was the right decision for him health-wise. Health comes before anything, before, you know, family and your health come first. And I think that's the right decision, despite him, you know, obviously wanting to win a championship and things like that. But, I mean, yeah, he was here with the Spurs since he signed in the summer of 2015. And one of my top memories, I have two, actually. His Christmas Day game, the Spurs, I think, I'm pretty sure this was their last Christmas Day game against the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. And LaMarcus just went off, and he was in a rhythm early. I remember, you know, Tony Parker fed him early, and he got hot, and he stayed hot the entire game. But probably the best one, I would say, is his 56-point performance against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe that was in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that was probably the best he's looked, not just in a Spurs uniform, but possibly even in his entire career. That was just a great game from him. He really willed the Spurs that night, and I mean, that just showed why the Spurs picked him out. Yeah, I know he had some issues. You know, we talked about on this podcast multiple times, like, does he fit and all these type of things. But I mean, that those two performances for me showed why the Spurs went out and signed him in the first place for things like that. And I mean, it's a shame that he had to end it this way. But I mean, I'm sure all of us, and I'm sure every NBA player and every NBA team, anyone that LaMarcus has interacted with over the past, you know, 5 years at least in San Antonio, and then the time he was in Portland, will remember him for the great guy he was. And, you know, we all wish him well moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, we both made a mistake there. So it was actually a regular season game where he had 56. But I remember that was actually one of my top memories as well of his days as a Spur. You know, that's one of them is definitely that 56 point game. I still remember that against OKC. Also, that one series a few years ago against the Houston Rockets. Remember, it was an elimination game. It was in Houston. He just tore Houston apart with his performance that night. That was one big one. And then just for me also was just the day that we got the news that he was going to sign in San Antonio. I remember I was heading to the Spurs practice facility for some sort of media interview. I forgot what was happening that day, but or I think it was it might have been for the they were getting ready to go to the summer league, the players. Anyway, I was driving to my car, and then all of a sudden I get Woj's alert. You know, I think I was in my watch or my phone at the time, and it said, like, he put, like, breaking, LaMarcus Aldridge decided to choose the San Antonio Spurs. So, and that was like, wow, I couldn't believe, like, you know, like the Spurs got the guy, like the guy that the marquee free agent, they, after all those different years where they had been chasing different players and they couldn't quite get a star, and it was LaMarcus who decided to join San Antonio. So yeah, you're right, you know, he made the right decision. You know, you got to definitely put your health and your family first. And you know, unfortunately, you know, he won't be able to get that chance with Brooklyn this year to try to get an NBA championship. But you know, he's had a really great career, like you mentioned, with Portland, and then his time in San Antonio, and then you know, and just those few games with Brooklyn, had he been able to be a part of that team. So yeah, so it's, you know, we definitely wish LaMarcus the best of luck now heading into retirement. Let's go ahead and jump right into how the Spurs are doing. So since I last recorded, the team has actually won some games. That's a good sign, because I mean, the last time I couldn't even talk about any wins, they were on a losing streak. So they are 2-2 in their last four games. Let's go back to Friday night, last Friday. So you and I recorded this on a Thursday evening. So they did lose at Denver to the Nuggets in their second time playing them by 2 points. The Spurs were the underdog. They did fall behind by 18. However, they made a pretty good run there in the fourth, and they were basically like a Keldon Johnson layup at the end there. Defended by Michael Porter Jr. to send it to overtime. So you know, they were right there. They were very competitive in that game. Then on Sunday, they finally snapped their 5-game losing streak. They got a win against the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. The Spurs were the underdog. It was a pretty close game throughout, and San Antonio held on for the win there against Dallas. So that was an impressive win for the Spurs. Then on Monday, the Spurs just demolished the Orlando Magic in Orlando. Well, not technically in Orlando. It was Orlando. Sorry, I got the next game mixed up. So anyway, yeah, they basically blew out the Magic. They were up by 30. They were favored in this game. They took care of business there. They won by 23. That was on Wednesday. It's where I have my wrong Florida team. It was the Toronto Raptors, who are currently playing in Florida. That's what I was trying to say there. And this was a letdown kind of loss for the Spurs, because this could be another one of those games where it might come back to haunt them if they don't get into the play-in game, or if they're trying to get the 8 seed or 7 seed. This is one of those games that's going to haunt them. They lost by 5. They made it close in the fourth, but what happened, the circumstances coming in was that one, San Antonio was favored by 5.5. Two, the Raptors were missing 5 players, including 2 of their top guards in Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. And then also, Toronto was on the second night of a back-to-back. The Spurs had at least a day off before that. So by like the second half, the Spurs had fallen behind by 13. They did make a late push there, but they couldn't quite overcome the hurdle against the Raptors. So Toronto got that win. That's a good disappointing loss for San Antonio. The state of the team, this team now has 19 games left. They are 10th out west with a 26-27 record, as you and I record. They're 19th on offense and 11th on defense. You know, because now we have to actually start addressing the lottery. If the season ended today, they'd be in position to probably get the 13th pick in the lottery, and they do have the second hardest schedule left in the league. So I know that's a lot of information, Steven. Take it wherever you want, any direction.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I'm glad we get to talk about some wins, first of all, because, I mean, that stretch was bad. And, I mean, and looking at what the, you mentioned their schedule, what they have left, I mean, it's probably going to get worse if we're all being honest here. But just addressing these last four games, they went 2-2, as you said. That Denver game was probably, I think, even though they lost, it was probably the best that they've looked in a while, because they were down 18. They had a chance to come back and tie late. And I mean, that second half where they came back, that's where I was like, okay, this is the fight that I wanted to see from this team for a while. But I mean, a lot of things are coming into it. I'll get to that in just a second. The game against Dallas, that was close, surprisingly. Surprisingly close, since Dallas has been a thorn in the Spurs' side for much of the season. This is the only win the Spurs had against them, so that tells you a lot. I'm not really going to touch on Orlando, because the Spurs, I think that's the one team the Spurs have consistently played well against, is Orlando, and Orlando's just completely tanking at this point.
Yeah.
And then the Raptors, that game, I mean, first of all, I'm not a Raptors writer or anything like that, so I completely forgot they're not even in Toronto this year, so you're not the only one. I was like, wait, they're in Florida now? So, I mean, so I mean, that game was, I think, and this is the thing that's kind of puzzling, is that this Spurs team, and not just with Toronto, but this Spurs team happened against Indiana as well, that when a team is missing a good group of guys, or at least a good portion of their roster, the Spurs cannot just manage to win the games that they should have. We saw that against the Clippers in San Antonio, against Indiana, and now we saw it against Toronto, where key guys are missing and they're still beating the Spurs when the Spurs either have had a good group together, or even if the Spurs have some injuries, they should be still be able to get the win, and it just doesn't come out that way. But I mean, yeah, I'm looking at this, Paul, and I mean, one thing I will say is this schedule, and not just for the Spurs, but the entire NBA, is just, it's crazy. I mean, Jamal Murray tore his ACL a couple of days ago. And I'm starting to wonder, and again, I know we're talking about the Spurs, but I'm talking about maybe as a whole NBA, like, is this schedule really the safest option, you know, for all the teams right now? And the Spurs probably, as you mentioned, have the second hardest schedule left. They don't have any consecutive days off until the season is over. And that's 19 games from now. They are currently 26th and 27th, and currently they are 10th in the West. That is the last spot for the play-in tournament. They are just two games ahead of the New Orleans Pelicans, who are number 11 right now. And honestly, the way the schedule looks, I would be surprised if they made the playoffs at this point, the way they're playing. But then again, I would not be surprised if they snuck in as well. But, I mean, Paul, this team, I think they just looked exhausted, and understandably so. I mean, there's games where they look like they should win and they just end up not getting the win. There's games where they look like they should probably lose and they somehow end up winning. So, I mean, that's the thing with, I think, this young squad that the Spurs have, plus this packed schedule, you know, games every other night, back-to-back, you know, it's getting to them. And I think that this second half is kind of undoing what I think you and I were at least surprised on, that good first half they had.
Yeah, and like, you know, just like you said, there's definitely some issues with just the condensed schedule. You know, Coach Pop even said it just last or a week or two ago now, where he said, you know, we're just fried. The team is fried at this point. And so, and then I think something else that you talked about was that Denver game. One of the players, I don't know if it was DeJounte or Derek White, one of the players did say, though, after I think it was the Dallas game or the Magic game, that it felt like they had turned the corner in that Denver game, even though they didn't win it. It just felt like there was like, oh, we finally got, you know, they figured out their game plan again. And then you saw it with that win against Dallas, and then, you know, blowing out Orlando. That's why it's always tough to kind of put an expectation on this team, because you think that, oh, they finally turned the corner and they're going to start, you know, just taking care of business now against the teams they should beat, like Toronto. But then they didn't do that, and we saw that they kind of reverted back. But even like in Coach Pop's comments against the Raptors, he wasn't like, you know, saying that the Spurs really, you know, gave this one away, or they really they didn't bring the right focus. He did say that they provided great effort. He just says that it's all those like little those hustle plays, those physical plays, like second chance points, is what just did them in for this game. So even Coach Pop's comments are different than in normal years, like, you know, when the team loses to a team that they should have beaten. So you know, that's what's interesting, you know, even from Coach Pop's perspective with this team. Now, part of he's not the direct reason for these wins lately, but a big boost to this team that they really lacked was not having Lonnie Walker there, and so now he's been back for these last four games that we're discussing, and we've seen some gains here for the team both in his and Lonnie's individual performance, but also just the team as a whole. So let's first talk a little bit about the offense now that Lonnie's back. The team is 2-2 in his return since he's come back in these last four games after missing nine straight with a wrist injury. One thing we've seen is definitely the bench has won the scoring battle against the other second unit of the other team. They've won that battle in three of the four games, basically. And during that five-game losing streak, when Lonnie wasn't present, the bench could never win a scoring battle against the other bench. So that's one part you see there with just adding Lonnie back. We have seen an increase in the team's three-point accuracy and also their wide-open three-point percentage. Having Lonnie back gives the Spurs at least a second player who can make wide-open threes at 40% or better. Only Patty Mills does that on this team. We've discussed that multiple times here on the Spurs cast. So now all of a sudden they have an extra floor space who is respected, who defenses really can't sag off of to pack the paint. He also gives them on offense a fifth driver to slash into the hoop in the half court set or out on the break. And so he's right behind DeMar DeRozan, DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, and Derek White. And we've seen that Lonnie's able to penetrate because the team has gotten way more assists now that ever since he came back. They've in two of their last four games they've hit 30 or better or 30 or more assists. And then something else he provides to this bench is that, or just to the team, is he can kind of go off for 10, 15 points. Sometimes or 20 points here and there, and we've seen that kind of just by his scoring. We know he's kind of inconsistent with his scoring, but he can provide that spark. We saw that in the first game back, 8 points. The second game, 13 points. I remember that Orlando game, he had 12 points, but he really kickstarted that run for the Spurs where they really just took off and never looked back against Orlando. And then he had 9 points recently in that loss to Toronto. And so what he does is that during that five game losing streak and those games that Lonnie was out, if Patty or Rudy, if either one of them had a bad night, it's really tough for the bench to get a lot of scoring because even though Drew Eubanks and Devin Vassell play minutes as well. Those two players just don't put up the points. Put up numbers. They're more of them. Drew just scores near the paint if there's an opportunity there, and then Devin kind of hits your wide open three when they're available. Whereas Patty and Rudy, the team really depends on their 9 to 11 points each night. And so if one of those guys is cold or off for a game, well then it's really tough. So now all of a sudden Lonnie provides some support there. And then also we've seen an increase in their fast break scoring since he's returned in three of the four games. So what do you want to say about on offense with Lonnie's return?
Yeah, so I'll start with the offense. I mean, first of all, it's good to have him back. I mean, I know he was out with that wrist injury, and we saw him in one of those games. Actually, he was playing, and he was just kept playing with his wrist, moving it around, and you could tell it was bothering him. And even before that, I think it's been a season long battle with him. And I mean that. Unfortunately, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. You don't want to see any players out for any extended period of time. However, I will say this time seems to really help Lonnie. I mean, before that, he was kind of regressing a little bit after a nice hot start. He was kind of like not really as explosive as, we're used to seeing him. But I mean, obviously he had the injury, but I mean, the time really has helped him. I mean, as you mentioned, the team's 3-point percentage has gone up. Wide open 3-point percentage has gone up. Him and Patty, as you said, are the only two shooters who are actually consistently hitting their threes now. So that's good news. I mean, I really enjoy Lonnie. I've enjoyed Lonnie's performance all season, despite him going through that little, downward spiral a little bit in the middle. But he's played very well. He looks more confident. I mean, he looks more comfortable. Obviously, when you're injured and you're not going to look comfortable, I mean, he looks more comfortable in the offense. And I will say, I thought because he was out for nine games, I thought he would have a little bit of rust on him. He didn't, surprisingly. He came out and he was just aggressive. He looked for a shot. He wasn't trying to force anything. I mean, obviously, fast break wise, he helps in that area as well. And the Spurs have actually done well in that department since his return. Also, I will say there's another guy driving to the paint other than Keldon, DeMar, DeJounte. There's another guy to go into the paint, which we all know he likes to do. So, I mean, I think the team is another reason why the team is actually scoring better is because Lonnie is back, and Lonnie has been consistent in his time since he's gotten back. So I think that's a good news for the Spurs moving forward, and we'll see how that goes offensively when they play again tomorrow against Portland.
Yeah, and he had a moment on Twitter the other night. I forgot. There was one of those games where he just threw down a crazy dunk in the open court, and he dunked on someone. Remember that one? So, yeah, that was another thing, too. And, no, something you just mentioned there, Steven, was the fact that he just looks fresh, you know, because he was injured, that in a way helped him get some rest. And Coach Pop kind of like, not really joked about it, but he was asked about that, you know, how do players get rest right now? He's like, you know, unless you get injured, you're not going to get any rest right now. And so, in a way, that kind of helped him in a way. And it just looks like visually, when you watch Lonnie, he's just looks like two steps ahead of everyone on the court, even the opponents, just because I think other teams, like you mentioned earlier, are tired as well. That when a guy's out for like, you know, nine games there, you know, you just, they come back, they just look so much quicker and just have that way more speed burst. And so that kind of looks evident with Lonnie, the fact that he's giving this team finally some fresh legs that they haven't had at all, because, you know, like you mentioned, there's no consecutive days off until the end of the year. And now let's just talk a little bit about defense, what he's providing to the team now that he's back. You know, he provides another versatile defender for this team. We saw that in that game against Dallas where, you know, Derek White and DeJounte Murray got all the starting minutes against Luka Doncic, but when either of them went out in that game, Lonnie became the primary defender guarding Luka. So again, he gives him like a third option to guard some of the tougher matchups in the NBA. Coach Pop also commented on how he's actually becoming a better team defender, and you know, these aren't just directly attributed to Lonnie, but we did see that in three of these last four games that he's been back, that the opponents have been turning the ball over a little bit more, and then also you know, just his individual numbers don't really stick out, you know, for the whole season as a whole. So I don't know if you want to mention anything about his defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, Luka is probably one of the toughest guys to guard in the NBA. I mean, we saw that completely insane and still kind of weird shot he hit in the game winner a night ago. So I still don't know how that went in looking at it. But, I mean, yeah, so Luka is probably one of the toughest guys to guard in the NBA. But DeJounte Murray, Derek White are probably the two best defenders on the Spurs. But Lonnie is right behind them. I mean, we saw him poke the ball away from Luka at one point for the chase away, or breakaway slam dunk there. I mean, Lonnie is becoming a good defender. We saw what he did against James Harden whenever James Harden was still with the Rockets before he decided to leave. So Lonnie is actually getting to be a pretty good defender, not just offense. I think he needs to work a little bit more defensively, but I mean, if he can put in the work like Pop has been saying, obviously Pop has been seeing things close up, like unlike you and I. But I mean, Lonnie is, I think, a dark horse defensively for the Spurs that I don't think a lot of teams are really looking at right now. But I mean, if he continues to do what he's doing right now, I think that will change very quickly.
Yeah, and like we said, you know, just having him back on the team just gives him another dynamic player on both ends of the court. Now let's move on to our last topic, Steven, and this is kind of a question I've been getting a lot online, is that, you know, how does the play-in game work, the play-in tournament work, and then also, you know, what's going to happen to the Spurs' draft picks? So first let's talk about the tournament, because, you know, the Spurs have fallen out of the eighth seed for a few weeks now. They were in that ninth spot, but now they're actually down to 10th that you and I are recording this. So, you know, the way it works is seeds in each conference, the West and the East, they get seeded 7, 8, and 9, and 10 on each conference are going to be in different games. So there's going to be called the 7 versus 8 game. So let's just take today's scenario. Like, let's say right now it's Dallas and 7 and Memphis and 8. So those two teams would play in a game at the end of the year, and the winner would become the 7th seed automatically. So whoever wins that game between the 7 and 8 becomes the winner. Then there's a game called the 9-10 game, and that's right now. Today, if that happened, that would be the Warriors versus the Spurs. The Warriors at 9th, the Spurs at 10th. And so whoever wins that game moves on to play the loser that lost the 7-8 game. So let's just take one scenario. So let's just say that it was Dallas versus Memphis for the 7-8 game. Let's say Dallas beats Memphis. Well, then that means the Mavs are locked into number 7 for the playoffs. Memphis, though, now has to play whoever wins in the 9-10 game between the Spurs and Grizzlies. So let's just say the Spurs win and they beat the Grizzlies. Okay, so if the Spurs win, then they have to still move on to try to face the Grizzlies. Say the Spurs beat the Warriors. I apologize. So Spurs beat Warriors, then Spurs move on and they play the Grizzlies. So basically the loser of the 7-8 game gets two chances to get knocked out. And the team in the 9-10 has to win two games. It's even harder for them. So then the Spurs face the Grizzlies now, in this scenario. So if the Spurs were to beat the Grizzlies, well, then the Spurs would get eighth. if the Grizzlies were to beat the Spurs, well, then the Grizzlies would get eighth, and that's kind of how it works. So again, it's kind of like the team. So right now, where the Spurs are at 10th, they would have to win two games to get into the playoffs. And if they were to finish 7 or 8, well, then they would have to just win one game basically to get into the playoffs in that scenario. And then of course, if they fall to 11th or through 15th, they're not going to get in the playoffs. So now, one interesting question I've been getting as well is what's going to happen to their draft pick? You know, in both scenarios, whether they get in or they get out. And so this one, honestly, I'll be honest with you. I did some research today before you and I recorded, and on the NBA side, in terms of like I have access to their media site, and there's not a lot of information. I'm telling you, like I really dug in, and it's only about how the games are going to work. It doesn't really clarify exactly what's going to happen with the draft picks. So here's my biggest takeaway. The biggest takeaway would be that if the Spurs, as long as the Spurs don't get eighth, so in any scenario, as long as they don't get eighth in this tournament, then they're going to hold on to wherever they finish, whether it's 9th or 10th. And then you got to remember that there's also East teams that are 9th or 10th. So that means that, like, if today's scenarios took place, they would be the Bulls, the Spurs, the Pacers, and the Warriors, who would all be at those lottery 9-10 seeds for the lottery. And then, of course, their seeding would be based on who has the worst record amongst those four teams. So that's kind of the biggest takeaway from what I can tell. Unless the NBA gives us more clarity on how the picks are going to work, unless if the Spurs get eighth, well, then they would get that eighth pick. I mean, that eighth slot, wherever they're not the eighth pick, but you know what I mean. Like they would have been in the lottery, should I say? So anyway, as long as the Spurs don't get into playoffs, basically they're going to get a lottery pick. But if they do get into the playoffs, they're not going to get a lottery pick. And that's kind of the best takeaway that I can tell from right now until the NBA gives us any kind of definitive answer. Did you have any comments on that tournament?
Well, I mean, I'm glad I'm not the only one that's confused by it. I mean, I'm glad it's you too. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I've always felt indifferent about it, and I know last season was obviously with COVID and the bubble and all this other stuff. I understood why they did it, but now I'm looking at it like I don't get it, but then again, I do. I mean, the reason why I don't get it is because, I mean, everybody's having the same number of games now. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody's having 72 games, 72 chances, you know, all this type of stuff. And whoever is the best top eight and the best each conference should be able to get in the playoffs. Part of me looks at it as a way for the NBA just to make more money, get more ratings, you know, things like that. But the other part of me is like, okay, well, some of these teams, and we've seen this before in other sports, you know, some of these teams who deserve to get in don't get in because, you know, of whatever situation. And I like the play-in tournament for that reason. It gives people who, you know, maybe didn't have the best game or something to kind of have a shot at it. We see how the WNBA does it. They put, you know, the best 16 teams, 1 through 16, into the playoffs. And regardless of their record, you know, regardless of conference, I should say, excuse me, regardless of conferences, they get in. And I've always wanted to see that situation in the NBA. But, I mean, as far as play-in tournament, it's kind of confusing. I'm glad you broke it down the way you did. But, I mean, I'm indifferent about it. I like that they're doing it, but then I don't like it because, I mean, realistically, whoever makes it from that 9-10 game and is the 8 seed is probably going to get swept regardless anyways. So, I mean, I just think it's kind of a waste of time, but then again, it's more basketball to watch, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, for those teams in 9-10, it is a little more competitive. But, you know, it's something to keep in mind, as you and I both discussed earlier. You know, the Spurs do have the second toughest schedule in the league. So again, they have to finish, 10th at worst in order to be part of this. If not, you know, if they land 11th through, you know, they won't get 15 anymore because some of the bad teams out there. But, you know, they get 11th or 12th, well, then it's not going to happen. They're not going to be part of this. Or, you know, if they move up to 7th or 8th, let's just say they do play better. Well, then, you know, they would pretty much need is one game to win out of those. And when that tournament takes place. So don't forget to visit projectspurs.com. I'm Spurscast listeners. You know, Steven continues to provide analysis after each game. Michael DeLeon's been creating some game previews before each game. Joe Garcia has had different Project Spurs staff members on the Spurs Rewind videos. Our newest writer, Rocky Garza Jr., had an interesting piece called Top 11 NBA Players Under 25 Spurs Edition. And then, of course, now that the draft, you know, we don't know right now, it looks like the Spurs are going to get a lottery pick based on where they're at in the standings as of today. And so Benjamin Bornstein's kind of keeping you prepared for the lottery with the Spurs prospect watch pieces each week. The latest one is over Ayo Das Unmu of Illinois by Benjamin Bornstein. So thanks again to Steven for joining me here on the Spurscast, and also to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.